Seeing a ghost in New Orleans is as common as having a bowl of gumbo. The question is not when, but rather where is best to savor them both. Each person who lives or visits the city of New Orleans quickly finds their favorite haunts, which they return to time and time again. Join me, Kayla Ambrose, your travel guide to the other side, as I take you on a journey to visit one of the most magical and haunted lands in the United States. In my new book, Spirits of New Orleans, Voodoo Curses, Vampire Legends, and Cities of the Dead, I take you back to my roots growing up in Louisiana to explore the haunted city. Prepare to embark on an enticing journey into the haunted history, paranormal activities, magical ceremonies, and supernatural rituals in order to embrace the cultural significance of the variety of beliefs, superstitions, legends, and lore of New Orleans. Visit the resting place of Voodoo Queen Marie Laveau, have a drink at some of the most haunted bars in the city, and spend the night in your choice of haunted hotels. As your guide, we'll tread carefully through Pirate's Alley and down the streets of the French Quarter, where ghosts, vampires, and other supernatural beings lurk around every corner. In the book, Spirits of New Orleans, I offer tips at the end of every chapter with the best places to stay, dine, shop, and party. It's time to let the good times roll. Come explore with me in the great city of New Orleans. Spirits of New Orleans is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in stores. More information available at exploreyourspirit.com. Happy haunting. Come explore with me.
Welcome to Explore Your Spirit with Kayla. Journey with Kayla as she speaks with researchers, artists, teachers, and healers. Delving into topics of ancient mysteries, metaphysical explorations, and new discoveries from science and spiritual arenas. Explore Your Spirit with Kayla can be found online at exploreyourspirit.com. Visit the website for more podcasts, articles, metaphysical news, and upcoming events. Visit us at exploreyourspirit.com.
Welcome to the Explore Your Spirit with Kayla show. I'm your host and your travel guide to the other side, Kayla Ambrose. As always, we love talking about all the ways that we can explore and live together and be together in this world as it continues to evolve and unwind and change in so many ways. 2013, as we've seen already, is going to be more of that, and things are changing quickly and time is flying. And I want to thank all of you who've been celebrating with us this year with the birthday coming back around again, the anniversary here of Explore Your Spirit, 7 years running now, listeners in over 60 countries, and over 400 shows now in our archives, all free, all available to download, to listen to from the computer, to get the Explore Your Spirit app off of iTunes, listen on your iPhone, your iPad, whichever way works for you. And we're working on the app soon too, for Droid as well, that version. So that'll be out soon. You can follow us that way too. But always thank you for your support and everything. Tonight, I really want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the publishing industry. I've written 4 books in the past 5 years. I've been on book tours all across the country, and it's been so wonderful, but the industry is really changing. So I'm bringing back a guest we've had on before. He enchanted me. He charmed me. Guy Kawasaki. Last time he was on here, we talked about his book, Enchantment. And now he's written what I call the go-to guide for publishing. It's a book called APE, which stands for Author, Publisher, and Entrepreneur. And if you're an aspiring writer, like a lot of you are, that listen to the show and write to me about it, You're going to want this book because it is hard to understand anymore how this world works with publishing. It's not just enough to write a book anymore. You have to build a platform. You have to be out there. You have to be your own publicist, even if you're with one of the big six. And Guy's going to share that information for us tonight. Those of you who don't know Guy Kawasaki, and I don't know who you are because he's everywhere. Everyone knows him. He's a man that needs no introduction, but I'm giving it anyway. Let's just say Guy is the co-founder of alltop.com, an online magazine rack of popular topics on the web, and he's a founding partner at Garage Technology Ventures. I love Alltop. If Explore Your Spirit with Kayla, the Bohemian blog, is a part of Alltop. We've been there for years. We love it. Check it out. It's the greatest place to get information on everything. Previously, before this, Guy was the chief evangelist of Apple, and he's the author of over 10 books, including, as I mentioned, Enchantment, as well as Reality Check, The Art of the Star, Rules for Revolutionaries, How to Drive Your Competition Crazy, Selling the Dream, and the book that is the topic of our show this evening, Ape. Guy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. That's quite an introduction. Can we just end the interview right here? Call it quits? Tell people to go buy the book and, you know.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I'll be appearing every Tuesday, and please buy the veal. Oh, Guy, you're so much fun. And, you know, you're so informative. You have such a great way. Your writing is almost like hearing you speak. It's very down-to-earth, practical, telling it like it is, and being honest. And that's a rare quality these days, to get someone to be honest and just say what it is. I appreciate it. I do.
One of the reasons why I think people should be honest is that it takes less energy. You know, when you lie, you have to keep track of how you lie.
I know.
You lie consistently. It takes a lot of effort.
It does. You got to have a good memory, too, so you can keep up with it.
I know. I'm losing my mind. So, you know, I think it's just think green, man. Don't lie. I mean, it's less energy. So.
Well, tell us about, because you talk about your experience with another book and with your publisher and how surprised you were with what happened with the e-books. Tell us about that and what happened.
Yes. So with Enchantment, which is what I was on last time, there was a large company who wanted to buy 500 copies and give them to 500 different people. And my publisher said they can't handle that order. They have to use a reseller. So she was pointed to Apple, iBookstore, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. And believe it or not, she ended up having to buy 500 books one at a time on a credit card. And so I heard this story and I just said, this cannot be. I mean, you know, how can you force a customer to do that? I mean, this is, you know, 500 sales to one customer is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so I was so flabbergasted by that. And at the same time, I had just fallen in love with Google Plus. So I decided to write a book about Google Plus and self-publish it. So in the process of self-publishing this book about Google Plus, I learned how fragmented and idiosyncratic and confusing and, you know, challenging it is to self-publish a book. So that's what made me write Ape. And I figured out that, you know, it's not just writing the book, it's not just producing the book, and it's not just marketing the book as a self-published author, or what I call artisanal publishing. You have to do all three. And so that's why the book is Ape, as opposed to A or AP or PE or E.
And I think that's what's shocking to a lot of people still. They think the hard part is writing the book, and it is. It's a lot of work to write a book. But nowadays, it's the 10%. It's just step one is getting the book.
It really is true. And I think many authors are not prepared for that. And not only are they not prepared for it, they figure it out after they've written their book. Mm-hmm. And so I think that to build a marketing platform, you need at least 6 to 12 months. And so if you write your book and take 6 months to write your book and then figure out you need marketing, it could take you another 6 months. So it'll be a year. And in a perfect world, things would be nice and serial. You know, like you write your book, then you publish it, and then you market it. But in truth and in life, in most cases, you have to multitask. You need to write, and you need to build your marketing platform, and you need to prepare your publishing. I mean, everything has to happen at once. So you're moving three pieces down the board, not one at a time.
It's a brand new world.
It is.
A lot of people, when I talk to them about that, or when I'm out doing a book signing or whatever, sometimes I get as many people that want to write a book as people that are interested about my book there. And they'll ask me, what does it take to do a book? And I'm trying to explain in 5 minutes to them, et cetera. But what are some tips you can give to our listeners that are interested in doing this of what they can do? Because the thing I hear most is they don't have a lot of money, for marketing or, small budget.
Well, it shouldn't take a lot of money. There are a lot of predatory organizations that what they're trying to do is they're trying to appeal to the psychological or ego needs of people who want to write a book. And so they're preying upon them, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, not P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. And they're preying upon this need to publish a book. So they start whipping out these $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 charges, telling them to buy 5,000 books and put it in their garage. They'll sell it. And I think it should be at least immoral, if not illegal. So the bottom line is, it's not an easy process, but it's also not an expensive process. I mean, literally, if you are writing a novel, you need a computer, you need Microsoft Word, and you need internet access. I would then invest at least, or at most, $1,000 in cover design and $1,000 in copy editing. So we're talking about, assuming you had, word processor and all that already and a computer, we're talking $2,000 max. Now, you could say that doesn't include marketing, and you're right. But you know what? Marketing is not because of money. Marketing is because of sweat. And so what I recommend is that authors, from the moment they start writing their book, they have to prepare a marketing platform. And the way you do that is you use free services such as Pinterest and Google+ and Facebook and Twitter. These author services companies that charge you $5,000 because they're going to prepare a PR kit for you, that's preposterous.
I don't even know where you'd send a PR kit anymore, really.
That's literally true. But, there are services where they say, well, we'll get a PR kit together for you. We'll mail it to all these people. We guarantee coverage. We'll even get it in front of Hollywood agents. And, that package is $25,000. That's utterly ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So where do you think things are going even in the next 5 years? Because it's moving so quickly. Are we going to see the end of paper books, do you think, in that time?
I think that's exaggerated. Today, many people believe that ebooks outsell paper books, and that is simply not true. The total U.S. market for books is about $25, $27 billion, and roughly 10% of that is electronic. The rest, the $22 billion, is still in paper. The reason why there's so much confusion about this is a lot of people think that ebooks are outselling printed books in general, but it's only true in adult fiction.
Mm.
So if you're writing an adult fiction novel, by all means, focus only on ebooks because that's where it's dominating. But if you're writing a nonfiction book, I would still make the case you need to have both versions. In my case, Enchantment, to this day, the ratio of printed to ebook is 2-1. So in 10 years, 10 years from now, you could convince me that 75% of book sales is electronic. And the only thing that's not are, sort of true gift items, true Hillary Clinton biography, big, big books, photography books, recipe books. I understand those will probably always be printed, but the rest of it, I think, will be electronic.
It's interesting. I know a lot of publishers are saying they still haven't quite mastered how to count ebook sales. So it makes you wonder about some reporting too. So
it shouldn't be that hard. But an ebook has such advantage. For your readers who don't have a tablet or something, I encourage them to, or your listeners, you really should check it out. I mean, there are some advantages such as it's only about 1/4 inch thick and about 7 inches diagonally across. On that thing, you can put hundreds of books. people can't tell what you're reading. You know, if you want to read 50 Shades of Grey or you want to, you know, read The Dummy's Guide to Windows 8, no one's going to look at the book. No one's going to know what you're reading on a tablet because you're not holding up a book and its cover. A lot of it, you can buy books online, you know, wirelessly almost anywhere. So you can be on the airplane at the gate, buckled up, and buy a book. You know, there's some significant advantages to e-books.
I heard a rumor that Amazon is really close to having one of their low-level, I guess, Kindles under $30 and possibly in the future free if you sign up for one of their membership options.
I mean, that seems very low to me, but you know what? If you look at the phone business in America, where you can get a $75 phone if you sign up for 2 years of a phone plan,
mm-hmm.
kind of a similar thing, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know that phone costs more than $75 to build. And I would, not that I know that much, but I would think that a tablet is easier to build than a phone. So the model, if Amazon is a very smart company. So if they sell you a tablet for $30 and they, let's say they lose, I don't know, $100 on that transaction. So they lose $100 to suck you into the system. And then they figure, well, over the lifetime of you owning that tablet, you'll buy 20 books at $10 each. That's $200. But the cost of goods of those 20 $10 books is basically zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just bits in the air. So on the $200 of e-books, obviously they have to pay a publisher or something, but that's a very high-margin business. So it's completely believable. I mean, if you believe that phone companies can sell a phone to you for $75 and over 2 years make the money up on your connection charges, then you certainly should believe the Amazon model.
With your book being released, you did Amazon first, right, and then spread
yes.
it out to others. And I know a lot of authors are wondering about this now. And I know Amazon also does where you can give it away for free for a couple of days to kind of generate
yes.
effort. Did you try any of those marketing things?
The program you are referring to is the KDP Select program. And what it does, what you have to do is promise that you will not sell it in ebook format through any other channel. In return for that, you can then give it away free. So believe it or not, giving your book away free is a privilege. You might have to wrap your mind around that for a second. And the other thing it is that's true about this program is Amazon creates a pool of money for all books in this program, and then they divide that pool based on how much of the borrowed books is your book. So all the people who enable their books to be borrowed split this pool at the end of the accounting period. So that's another interesting model. And yes, in exchange for the exclusiveness of your book being with Kindle, you get these marketing programs. And we are in that program. We have not yet given it away free because we shipped the book right before Christmas, and it seemed to me that, you know, one of the dumbest times to give a book away for free is before Christmas when everybody's buying gifts.
Very true. And I think that's one of the struggles that with ebooks that people are still working through is it's still a little bit difficult to give a book as a gift when it's
yes.
an ebook, and not just the problem you had with someone wanting 500 of them, but
yes.
even in general. So once that's worked out too, I think that will help a lot.
Well, I came across a company in Canada called Enthrill, Enthrill. And what they do is they print a nice sort of card gift certificate. And each card gift certificate, one side is your cover. The other side, you scratch off a place, and it shows you a unique number to go to their website to download your book. So the scenario that you and I would use is, if we go to a signing, and so you want to, at a signing, you want to sell something physically, right? So in this case, it'll be this gift card that is the cover of your book. You could even autograph that gift card. The people take that gift card home, scratch it off, get the number, download it to their tablet. So it you know, it's not as good as getting a physical book. On the other hand, an ebook that way has all the advantages of what I described for a tablet. So it's kind of a nice middle ground. And we haven't used that system yet because, again, we're on the Kindle exclusive program. But when that expires, I'm definitely going to try that.
I like
that. So imagine, Kayla, the ease of going to a signing carrying 200 cards versus shipping 200 books.
Yeah,
that's a big difference.
I'm very excited about that. I would be happy to let go of carrying the books. I do. I call it the Gypsy Wagon Road Tour. I'm on the tour every year with the books and doing speaking and teaching. And, you know, I had to buy a van just to carry all my stuff when I go.
Well, now, Kayla, you can drive in a Porsche. I mean, you know, you should be driving the car. You know, for a woman of your quality, you should be in a Porsche, man. No, I don't see you in a minivan.
That's what it is now. I've got the Gypsy Wagon, I call it, because there's so many books you have to carry and everything. It'd be great to be able to condense it down to that.
it's going to be a card, and you know, even better, if you think about it. So let's say you have to pay a dollar each for this card, mm-hmm. right? But you're going to sell your book for probably $10, right? I don't know. Which price point do you use for an e-book? $10?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So, I mean, you know, I'm making these numbers up on the fly, but so you sell this card for $10. It costs you a dollar to, you pay Enthrill or whatever, you know, pay a dollar, dollar half to print the card. So you're making $8.50. It's not so easy to make $8.50 on a $10 book any place in publishing, as you well know, right?
Well, and especially because I haven't self-published yet. Mine are all with my publisher. This is what I'm hoping to do in the future is to try self-publishing. I'm the, you know, like the rest of the authors, we get our little 10% that, you know, six months later if it's on time.
Well, and then, I mean, not to be devious about it, but if you think about it, so there's going to be some percentage of the people that are going to buy this card for $10 from you at your signing. It costs you a dollar half to make the card, but then they might not even redeem it. Right? They might lose the card. It's like joining a health club and not going, right? Mm. So I don't think that you should take advantage of that necessarily, but these kind of things will happen. And you think of the advantage for you that now, if you want to revise your book, you just change the file that they're redeeming, right? Mm-hmm. That's a lot better than convincing your publisher who's sitting on 1,000 books in the warehouse, I made this big, you know, error, we need to throw those books away and print another one. Man, that ain't going to fly, right?
Right. I love that you can add. And it's a living document at that point.
Exactly. And that is a huge, huge difference. I mean, there's just so much goodness about the electronic books.
You really demystified a lot of the self-publishing. It's something I've thought about doing, and I know a lot of others have. But your book gives a certain amount of comfort because you're kind of taking everything step by step. And like I said, I so admire your honesty. You're the former chief evangelist for Apple. Everyone knows you're connected with Apple. But yet you recommend Microsoft Word to write your manuscript. And I appreciated that. I did.
Well, you know, Microsoft Word is running on Macintosh. Obviously I'm an ex-Apple employee. That was, I don't know, 15 years ago. Today, truly, my loyalty is to the best solution for the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today that the best solution for a computer is a MacBook Air, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think the best solution for a word processor for an author is Word. Now, on the flip side, I think a best solution for a smartphone is an Android phone today.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, a Samsung Galaxy S3 or Note is a better phone than an iPhone. So my loyalty is no longer to our particular brand. It's to what I think is best.
Right. Yeah, and you really, that's what I say, it really comes out in your book. You're like, I've tried it, I've looked at all these things, here's really what works the best. And so it's just a really helpful book in that way for anyone that wants to go through this. And you really explain what it's like publishing in each direction and then how to get it out there. And it's a lot. It's very helpful. You were great like that with your Google Plus book as well.
Uh-huh.
And because
thank you.
And I still try to figure out some things on Google Plus. Even your book helped a lot, but it's hard sometimes to get people still to come over there. People that'll connect, and I'm not sure why. It's a great, you know, what they've built there is great. I don't know why more people aren't gravitating to it.
Well, some of it may be social media fatigue. I mean, if you're already dealing with email, and then you're dealing with Facebook or Twitter, mm-hmm. you know, do you need another thing?
Well, you know what? I could take that argument, except I will tell you, myself and every woman I know, put it that way, when Pinterest came out, we did not mind running over to another
That's
thing.
True. You're right.
So
right.
If there's something, and I think there is something about Google Plus that's harder for women to gravitate to. It doesn't seem as friendly. It's not as, I can't even put my finger on it to explain it to you, but it seems very masculine. I don't know how to fix that. I just tell you. You know, they need some more girls over at Google, I think, to kind of balance
I'll
it out.
Them.
That's my two cents there.
All right. But I wrote it down.
Oh, God, what am I going to do with you? So for people that are listening, and I think everyone almost wants to be a writer these days. Don't you find that a lot? A lot of people have a book in them and are wanting to put something out. And I think I heard now that the statistics are like 1,000 books a day are coming out. Whether it's through through traditional publishing and with self-publishing now, they're saying
hallelujah,
and so that is a big sea of books to get found in.
Yep.
And then there's also too one author I just had on the show recently. We were kind of laughing. His book got put in some weird category in Amazon. So even if a person was searching category, it'd be hard to find him. And so that's where I think people feel like, well, how did you know? Done all this, now how do I get heard? Even social media, there's a flood there. What makes it stand out? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Sure. So from the moment you decide you're writing a book, you need to get in your mind that you need to build your marketing platform. And the way you do this is you use Pinterest or Facebook or Twitter or Google+ or LinkedIn, you know, any or all of the above. And you should establish a reputation for knowledge and expertise and honesty in your genre, whatever that genre is. So let's take a theoretical person who is writing a book, and it's a novel set in medieval England, okay? Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is, from the moment you started writing that novel, you have to look for interesting stories about that period that appears anywhere on the internet. And so you need to be a curator. You need to be an expert. When Wired magazine writes an article about some new archaeological findings, or if CNN does a broadcast where they found skeletons underneath a London tube, you know, something like that, you need to constantly be posting stories about that period. So guess what? You do this for 6-9 months. You're probably enjoying it because you're meeting people who also share a passion for London's history of that time period. So you're making friends. You're sharing passions. And then guess what? One day you say, guess what? I wrote a novel about medieval England, and this is my book. Of course they're going to buy your book. You're an expert. You're their friend, right? And that's the whole point.
And it is, and I think that has been a problem for some people that are authors. They tend to be more introverted, so they have to learn. They have to be a little more extroverted and connect with people more in that way on social media. And that really what it is, because you're establishing yourself then as someone enthusiastic and passionate and knowledgeable about the subject, which then leads to them wanting your book. So it is. It's taking that risk and putting yourself out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting to the point, they're just going to have to suck it up if they want to be a successful author. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Wait a minute,
God.
Is that the title of your new book, Suck It Up?
Suck It Up, Liposuction for Dummies. Yeah.
It's, you know, another great point you bring up in the book, too, is that you don't do it alone. You have to have a good editor, no matter how good of a writer. And if you're self-publishing, you have to have, and you had someone that helped you with your book too. That was great with technology and Sean, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so you need to find people who complement your skills. And the last two people that you should not use is a copy editor and a cover designer. Just the probability that you are a good writer, copy editor, and cover designer is zero. Zero. Okay, it might be negative. Don't do that by yourself. I would say, you know, if you discover some kind of ailment you know, you're getting migraines or something, I would not tell anybody to just look it up on the internet and self-medicate, right? So that would be very foolish. You know, you're screwing around with your life. If you decide to self-copy edit and self-design your cover, you're screwing around with the life of your book.
And you really can. Have you ever done that through Amazon? You really can pick them out quickly, self-done covers.
There's a whole chapter in Ape about how to not appear like you are self-published.
The cover does make a big difference. You're absolutely
right.
So, Guy, what's next now? What are you taking on now?
Well, Kayla, you have children, Kayla?
I do. I have a son.
Okay. So how old is he?
He is 26, Guy.
Okay. So not that I have ever given birth, but, you know, as a mother, I think you'll appreciate this analogy. So Ape came out 33 days ago. No, 27 days ago. Ape came out 27 days ago.
Wow.
So can you imagine going up to a woman 27 days after she's given birth and saying, "So, when are you going to get pregnant and have sex again?" You know? And you can't, right? You know, the baby's not sleeping. The baby's not breastfeeding properly. The baby is, you know, waking up every half an hour. Your husband's traveling, and you come into her house and say, "So, when are you going to get pregnant again?" That's what you just asked me. I just don't even want to think about it.
So you're more organic, let things flow, and when the next thing comes to you, that's the right time. Or you're saying, if we're going with that analogy, that the next time you get pregnant, it just kind of sneaks up on you and happens. You're not really planning for it.
Well, let's just say right now I'm not having sex. Okay?
Either way, it's all part of the mystery and the fun.
That's right.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with next, and I'm always delighted and enchanted with what you write and who you are. And you're just
thank you. You
have such a great personality and energy about you, and the way that you share things, and it's always helpful. And you leave a mark on the world in so many ways. You plant these seeds, and they help a lot of people. And I hope that you hear that often from others.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Kayla, very much.
And I know your children are delightful. And like I said, I got to hear your son's message, and he is quite the character. And they grow up so fast, Guy. I had my son very young. You know, I'm 46 now. So you can, you know, I was started young, and it's amazing. I can think back and remember when he was born in that tiny, and it does go by in a blink of an eye. So
I have children who are 7, 11, 17, and 19, and there's such a gap. Because the last two are adopted siblings.
Oh, how beautiful.
So, you know, I'm 58 and I have a 7-year-old son. So I kind of have like a grandfather experience already. And, you know, my plan is he graduates and the next day I die. That's the plan.
Don't say that. Don't even say that.
That's the plan. I have it all planned out.
I bet he's the best thing that ever happened to you. Honestly,
my daughter. You know, I have one daughter and three boys. My daughter is my treasure.
Does she have you wrapped around her little finger like little girls do? Yeah.
Twice. Tied in knots.
It is amazing how little girls do that. You know, we're born with these abilities. We don't even have to learn.
I'll give you a story about how, well, depending on how you want to look at how stupid or how wrapped I am, okay? So my daughter has two tortoises, three lizards, a dog, a guinea pig, and two chickens, okay? This is a freaking animal farm at our house. So one day we see that her guinea pig is like, his neck is twisted, he's walking funny, he can't move his back legs. So we take the guinea pig to the vet, all right? You know where this story is going, right?
Yeah.
So we take the guinea pig to the vet. The vet says, "Your guinea pig has an abscess, and so we need to operate. Or we need to put him down." And so you ask the question, how much is the operation? $600. So guess what we did?
Oh, yeah.
So I want your listeners to all go out there and buy at least 100 books for the guinea pig surgery fund of Guy. Because I wasn't going to go tell my daughter that I'm putting her guinea pig down. It's just not worth $600.
Well, did the guinea pig make it? That's the...
Yeah, so that would have been real funny, right? The guinea pig goes through a $600 surgery and dies.
It happens. I know parents that have done that and then had to go buy another guinea pig and try to sneak it in. So you're ahead of the game more than you know.
So I was lucky.
Yeah, because they do all that. And then the kid looks at the guinea pig and says, "This isn't my guinea pig."
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. So consider yourself lucky there.
Okay, good.
But that's adorable. And yeah, that's what children do. They're just, they're so amazing. And that's so, I love it. You're in California, right? That's where you are now. Do you ever go back to Hawaii, or do you take the kids back there?
For Christmas, we always go back because my father is still alive back
there. Nice. Yeah, that's a beautiful place. Can't imagine. You know, Guy, it was such a pleasure to have you back on the show, and I just
I love
laughing with you and talking and sharing
with you
and wishing you.
If I see somebody driving around a minivan,
you know it's me.
In the back, I'll say Kayla.
If you see a big mess of red hair woman looking, you know, driving erratically because her GPS isn't telling her in time where to turn, and she's got a box full of books in the van, that's me. You'll know.
Okay. I'll be looking for you.
But of course, you know, I will have Carolina Hurricanes sticker on there somewhere, so I'll be standing out in San Jose there for sure.
All righty. Maybe, in the perfect world, the Sharks will play the Hurricanes, and then, you know, we can really, like, bet something.
Oh, you're on. You are on. So we'll watch for that. And you're going down, just letting you know right now.
All righty. Thank you very much.
A good year and a good journey, and I look forward to your next pregnancy and seeing what you invent
next.
Thank
you. Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Explore Your Spirit is on the web. Visit us at exploreyourspirit.com.